Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
I think we'd be sick of that song by now, but it's awesome.
It is awesome.
Oh, the 25. Here we are.
Big number 25, the Richard Sherman episode.
I don't know what that means.
He's a defensive guy on the Seahawks. Had a pick six today.
A pick six? Like lotto?
No.
Is it, he's number 25? He's like the... Did they play lotto with the players? Is that what
his,
they did?
His uniform number is 25.
Okay.
And he got an interception and ran it back for 6 points.
Oh.
So it's a pick or interception for 6 points.
Okay.
Pick six.
All right. I thought it was like, you know, bulk candy or something. And he just really liked that.
No, no, no. That's Marshawn Lynch and Skittles.
I don't know what that means either. Who are these sports people?
Marshawn Lynch is the running back for the Seattle Seahawks.
Is he the guy with the shoes on the billboard? Like, something to do with shoes and, like, yeah, Skittles.
It's one of the two of them, but yeah. Skittles is beast mode. The beast is powered by Skittles.
All right. Is he getting
paid?
And
he was in beast mode. Second longest run today, 43 yards, 48 yards.
Was there some kind of football game?
There
match,
was a game.
A football?
There was a football match today.
A footy match?
Yes, against the Tennessee Titans. And it was 20...
Okay, I don't know anything about sports, but I thought it was the Texans.
Sorry. Yes, I was watching the other game. Yeah, sorry. It's not the Titans. It's the Texans.
Now, the Tennessee Titans used to be a different team.
Houston Oilers.
Houston Oilers. And they moved to Tennessee where there is no oil.
And
basketball.
Then,
I see. I've watched basketball, so I know a little bit of fake sports.
And then the Texans replaced
the Houston Oilers.
So... So there was a game. We were down 20-3 at halftime.
Down 20-3. You
20
should probably
points to 3 points.
Make some more basket runs.
Yes.
With the
needed a few more home runs.
With
some
the hand
holes
egg.
In one.
Make some more hand eggs. Get across the finish hoop.
Hand eggs?
It's not a football.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna go with Eddie Izzard on this one, man.
Hand egg, is that Quidditch?
It looks like a hand egg.
Okay.
You see, football makes sense. You know, it's a ball and you kick it with your foot. But this American football is more like hand egg.
Yeah, pigskin.
Pigskin. Though it is made out of cow leather. So, again, really not following.
It's okay. You don't have to.
Yeah, I know that it, like, there was a big thing about... Oh, fuck. What's that guy's name? Clear and Present Danger and all that shit. Writer. I don't know why I can't think of this guy's name right now.
I don't either.
Clive something? No.
Not wow. Clive Kessler.
No, no. Anyway, he's one of those shitty espionage writers who I'm sure is very good.
Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy did a thing and he's like, he had a guy, like, he shot a Muslim in a mall and shoved a football in his hand. He's like, he's made a pigskin, motherfucker. And like, everyone's like, no, they're not. They're made of cowhide or plastic or rubber.
Everything you know about football, you learned from Tom Clancy.
No, that's just it. I didn't.
Oh,
I learned about.
Okay.
Everything I know about football, I learned from either Eddie Izzard, or hold on, or news about Tom Clancy. It's another step,
you
know, or commercials because there are a fuck ton of them.
Yes,
and if you can hear that, I don't know if you can hear that out in podcast land, but it is. Raining up a storm. Fuck. It's
Niagara
raining.
Niagara Falls is falling on our heads.
Yeah, it is.
The Boeing wind tunnel tester has been turned on the Puget Sound.
Yeah. Someone left the door open. Fuck.
Yeah.
So,
there's
25.
No place like home.
There is
there's
not.
No place like home.
Oh. So, 25. Sorry about the gap, but we were very busy last week.
Busy,
still
busy people.
But gonna make some time for you folks.
Yes, because that's what
we do. Fine, folks. So should we talk a little bit about what we did past week?
Sure.
Because I know you did a lot of stuff, and I did some stuff.
Yes.
I'll go first. Oh, no, I'll go first. That's fine.
Well, we can alternate.
Okay, well, let's alternate. Do you want me to go first in the alternation, or do you want it?
I won't be able to remember everything, because I'm still a little scatterbrained, but I know that I did what's called a self-tape audition, which is...
what it sounds like. I taped myself.
Oh, I was like, it sounds slightly medical.
I did it on my Windows 8 phone.
Ooh.
And Mr. Todd Downing was DP.
Nokia, please. Or sorry, Microsoft now.
Microsoft now.
Microsoft, send us some free Windows phones. I have a 1020 and I fucking love it.
Yeah, I would like a 1020, but I don't want AT&T. So.
Well, yeah, you get an unlocked world 1020 and you'd be fine.
Sweet.
You still wouldn't get 4G. Well, you know, you might now. You might get 4G now.
Yeah.
That's right, because the band's changed up here a little bit.
Cool. and that is for a movie called The Architect. Apparently, it is a Parker Posey piece.
Oh.
And I would love that.
Yeah.
There's a Reese Witherspoon, I think it's called The Mind or something, that's shooting down in Portland that I was not able to audition for. But I did the self-tape, which is not on tape, and they sent it down to the casting director, who sent it back with notes, and wanted me to be even more monotone deadpan than I was. And I said, okay. And so I have sent that back. Todd taped that on Friday.
So we're fingers crossed.
So we're waiting on
that
one.
I love Parker Posey. She's great. One of my favorite. Well, I'm a big fan of Christopher Guest documentaries and her turn in the last, well, not the last few, but the big chunk there in the middle.
Yeah.
Best in Show and
Waiting for Guffman.
It's just wonderful. Just wonderful.
Yeah. And made me want to work at Dairy Queen.
Okay. Total non-masculine moment. I don't even care. Josie and the Pussycats. Fucking love that movie. And she is awesome in it. And so,
I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's great. If you realize, like, when you go into it, realize it's a satire. And it's a really fucking smart satire. And not only is it a satire, they convinced these companies to fucking sponsor the movie and then made fun of sponsorship blatantly in the movie. It was awesome. It was so... And Alan Cumming's in it, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just... Oh, Breckin Meyer and Seth Green.
Oh, hold it.
Boy band. And it's fucking great.
I think I might have seen part of that in Guelph.
Probably. And the boy band, the best part about the boy band is they only sing these songs that are horrifying innuendos. Like Backdoor Lover. And it's a great movie.
I thought that was Steven Tyler. Not as a Backdoor Lover. I thought he sang about
innuendos.
Backdoor Loving.
Oh, right.
With a sister and a cousin.
Yeah. Backdoor Loving with a sister and a cousin. Yeah, he did. That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I forgot. Walk This Way is... It's not on repeat in my head. I don't.
No, it's an underrated song.
Well, Run DMC at the beginning. it's my whole life. The last few days is just like late '80s rappers keep coming up. It's so bizarre.
Because you've been hanging around with Keeter.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my God, his rap for the new episode. Okay, so is it my turn? Hold on, this sound is my keys. I'm going to go ahead and throw them away because I keep fucking with them in my pocket. So.
This sound is for Mike Ott.
This sound is also for Mike Ott. Moon River.
Wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style someday.
Ooh, that was smooth. Smooth like a scotch.
I used to sing that in the elevator when I was in college. I think
you've sung it in some elevators that I've ridden too.
Yeah.
Really
good reverb in there.
Yeah. I recorded I only got so out of three nights, because of my job, it was too difficult. I recorded half of one night, missed one night, and then recorded all of the third night of the latest And Dad. So to their credit, they were able to pull together. I mean, they had Damon Van Hee, who was a makeup guy, running camera, like, but to their credit, they pulled it out. They filmed on the, whipped it out and then pulled it off. Yes. That's what they did. But they filmed on the, Les Mis set at Erickson Theater.
Oh yes.
That Balogun put on. So it was gorgeous. Like just awesome. Wonderful. Les Mis is now over, sadly.
Oh.
But Carrie is doing rehearsals now. So go, if you're in the Seattle area, go pick up tickets to Carrie at Erickson Theater.
Is it going
to
be a musical?
Yeah.
God damn it. Seriously?
Yeah. You know, no, I'll take it, man. I'll take it. If they can do it right, I'm curious. I can't. There's going to be pig's blood, dude.
Please don't drop the pig's blood on me. I want to be the homecoming queen.
Not bad.
Thanks.
I like that, too. Did you write that?
Yeah, I just did. Nice. That's right good. Now.
Right, right.
Wow, that wind is strong.
That. Sorry, it was Taco Bell. So,
you film. Didn't bring me any? Oh, you're bringing me some now. I see.
There you go. There you go. Here, have some.
Thanks. Yes.
So we filmed last Sunday, Monday, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Which Sunday was part of why I couldn't be here.
Right. Yes, because you were busy doing things.
And oh my God, it's so pretty. And there's a rap battle with a skeleton, and there's a queen who controls a mind maze. It's fucking awesome. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be so cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Do you want to swap back and forth, or do you want me? To
oh, sure. Saturday. I'll go backwards. Saturday, I had a in-person audition for a short film called 2020,
mm-hmm.
in which I get to play if everything works out as I hope it does, and I get the role.
Right.
I will play a Bradley Whitford-like character from Cabin in the Woods.
Wow, excellent.
And it's a movie about Google Glass.
It had to happen.
So if you think Google Glass
is scary,
and then imagine Cabin in the Woods.
I know where this is going, yeah.
You could put two and two together, yeah. But it would be an awesome little project to
is
be
it actually
of.
Google Glass, or is it something yes. else? Like, oh, so it's actually...
It says in the script, Google Glass.
Huh, wow. I wonder how they got the license for that.
Don't know, but it's a short film that's being cast out of Clatter and Din.
Oh, wow,
so
nice.
It's
going to look great, too, then.
Yeah, and when I got done, they were kind enough to ask, have you done voice work? I said,
perfect.
Yes, I've auditioned a number of times for some of your voice work.
Nice.
Hire me.
Nice. So, speaking of Google Glass,
yes,
I was... working downtown like I do now,
mm-hmm.
And it's been cool so far, so I'm pretty walk into a building where my friend Ryan works, not from our company or our floor or anything. This guy gets off the elevator wearing Google Glass, and I'm sorry, it makes you look like a doucher. It really does.
Oh, it's hipster glasses
people,
all over.
Well, people are like, you know, well, yeah, but that's how Bluetooth made you look. And everyone accepts Bluetooth now. No, Bluetooth makes you look like a doucher. Google Glass makes you look like an Uber doucher. Das Uber douche, right? That's
what my little ear thing makes me look like a douche.
Yeah, no offense. I mean, it does. It's.
Oh, hold it. Wait, I've seen Nathan with his in. Yeah.
Yeah, you wear yours while driving. That's
right.
It.
Yes.
I'm talking about people who walk around with a motherfucker.
Like Nathan. Who forgets it's there?
Love you, Nathan.
Even though his phone's off and somewhere else.
You look like some kind of like fucking Bajoran military like personnel or something.
I just want ones from Bespin, man.
Yeah.
Then I think you could rock it and look cool.
So Google Glass looks so stupid, and I don't know if it's got the potential to ever overcome that. It looks horrible, and like all I can think of when the guy's wearing it is like, don't. Just fucking look away from me. I don't want to be on your... I don't want to be live posted to anything in your little fucking life. Okay?
Yeah.
Just... Fuck. I hate it. I hate the concept of it, too.
There are buildings that are already banning Google Glass.
It is banned at my work. Microsoft has banned it.
Yes.
Google doesn't allow it, from what I've heard, in most of their buildings.
Well, no, because you're live streaming trade secrets at that point.
It's so... Get the self-driving car. Okay, make that happen.
Yeah.
I love the self-driving car. Great, perfect, wonderful, awesome. Google Glass, no. Just don't be evil. Don't be dicks. Don't make douchers. And that's the thing, is like the people who use it are gonna be like the first people who bought a Prius. They're just gonna be so fucking smug about it too. They're
like, oh, I got Google Glass. I can't remember my life. I can't remember what my life was like before Google Glass. Like, it's just so easy. Just watch it. Google Glass. Search for restaurants with a 4-star rating.
You know, and it's like, okay, that's great.
And you get that projected within the glass, right?
Yeah. And hopefully it'll take a photo.
So if they just take the cameras off.
Right. Hopefully it'll take a photo of me kneeing that person square in the happy sack. Hopefully the glass will capture that.
Mm.
Just fuck, man.
Well, now I know what not to ask for Christmas from
Yelp
you.
Sucks anyway, and like... I'm sorry, Yelp sucks.
Yeah,
as a previous business owner, Yelp is a fucking... They are horrible. And I am not associated currently with any business that is Yelp rated, nor am I working for a competitor for Yelp, so I will say this. Yelp fucking sucks.
Yeah.
They can't touch me for this because it's... This is just fucking public review. Yelp is a pile of shit and have extortionary tactics and treat small business owners like cash, like ATMs.
Yeah.
And if you don't pay them, they tell you straight up. They're very honest with you. We will fuck your review.
Yeah.
So, fuck Yelp.
Yeah. It's a bad thing. It's never really worked for me anyway.
No.
It's like, it doesn't... I'd rather use Urban Spoon.
Yeah. Well, what sucks is like a lot of sites that pull Yelp are great, but they pull Yelp for their ratings, you know, so whatever. So what else this week? Unfortunately, I tried to get to Tyler Hill's birthday. Happy birthday, Tyler.
Happy birthday, Tyler.
A lot of birthdays, though. I think, was it Janelle? Just had her birthday as well, I think.
I believe so.
And that's one of the Gore sisters. I hope it's Janelle, not Sherelle.
One of the Gore sisters had a birthday.
One of the Gore sisters. Happy birthday, Gore sister. And yeah, like we have a bunch of birthdays.
Yeah.
So, and a bunch more coming up because... As we all know, we're nearing the 9 months from Valentine's Day. So, lots of fucking birthdays in late October, early November.
Yeah.
Including myself. You're not. You're...
No.
No. You know,
I'm mid-December-ish.
Mid-December, right. Yeah. My dad, both of my uncles, just tons. My best friend in Idaho, Patrick... His birthday is like they're all just right around the same. That's wind, folks.
You gotta be able to hear that.
Yeah, I hope so, because it's awesome. It's holy shit.
If only I had more cable, I could just take it right to the window.
Yeah, that sounds like the worst fucking innuendo ever.
If I had more cable, I could take it right to the window. Oh, baby.
Maybe I can open the window.
No, don't open the window. Okay. Don't open the fucking window. Oh my God! Didn't you watch movies in the mid '90s?
Yeah, but
stay
it's
away
fine.
From the window.
There's not going to be any wash effect.
Oh, you might end up. Oh,
oh
yeah.
Oh.
You might end up with a Bill Paxton in the house, and we don't want that.
No.
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 So, anyway, on yesterday. So Saturday that we went to, the reason I wasn't able to make Tyler's birthday party is we had a previous commitment to go to the Kickstarter after party thing for the Espionage Nailed It Nail Wraps. And it was awesome. It was so cool. We got to see everybody. And of course, Jamie Cordero, she knows how to treat people. It's really cool. Like, you know, okay, we didn't just make our goal. We busted through our goal. So let's do some cool stuff for the people who helped do that. That's just how she felt. And it's really nice to be in a group where that's the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was nice seeing everybody. And, so Kayla Bunch showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was dressed as a certain short Canadian comic book character. But we decided
Nathan
to...
Nathan Fillion?
Yes, that's the one.
Okay.
We decided to rechristen her the Wolverine. She has an adamantium cooch, apparently. This is her words. These are her words. So, she is now the Wolverine.
Okay.
Weapon 6. That one's old, but the Wolverine's new. That's mine. Patent pending.
Weapon 6?
In German, I suppose.
Ah.
Right. Auf Deutsch.
Ja. Da. See. We. I don't know.
What was that? Inspector Clouseau from the old cartoon. We do not say see. We say we. See.
See.
I think the guy playing the Pepe, his little sidekick. I think that was Mel Blanc, actually.
Oh, probably.
Sounds like him.
Very potentially, yes. Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. Really cool stuff. So that was kind of my week. I mean, aside from just being busy as shit. Working on lunch, I actually got to get some hooks into it again. And it is, man, I was thinking, oh, this will be quick. This will be easy. Menu continuity is a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
It sucks so bad because the menus are just all over the place and cutting scenes to be quick and funny and punchy and also not have a menu suddenly being put down on the table with arms crossed. Really tough.
Were they supposed to have menus up?
So here's the problem. It was a micro crew, and I mean a micro crew. We just did not have the manpower to watch continuity.
Mm.
In retrospect, if we were doing it again, that would have been someone's full-time job.
Yeah.
Someone would have been pulled off of whatever else they were doing and would have been watching menus. I'm still trying, and it's just really hard.
Yeah.
Because you'll have these great takes that lead into these other great takes, and someone's arms are suddenly crossed. Or a menu is there, and now it's not.
Yeah.
You know? And so, for all of you aspiring filmmakers out there, don't fucking put stuff in your actors' hands. Ever. And don't let them cross their arms.
Yes.
Period.
And as actors, always repeat your motions.
Always repeat. And you know what? To everyone's credit, everyone repeated their motions perfectly set up to set up.
Right.
But they didn't, I'm sorry, within a setup, but they didn't repeat them set up.
Right.
So, yeah. But again, it was like we needed to have someone there going, oh, you know, your arms were crossed last time and
yeah.
Let's try that again. Let's do one without, one with. And it just didn't happen. So.
Yep. Oh, the pains of making films.
The pains of film.
Continuity and sound, your two biggest killers.
And then there's sound. We didn't have enough. We didn't have enough lobs.
Mm.
So we put one on a table. Huge mistake. Never do that again.
Yeah.
Every single tiny motion the table makes
gets picked up.
Huge rattling sounds, and of course they get mixed down. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to try and pull one of them out, but. You know, just it is what it is, and it'll still be funny. It'll still be quirky, and it'll still be, and it looks beautiful. It'll just be a pain in my ass until it's done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm probably gonna grab Todd, and just be like, all right, you're bringing the vodka. We're sitting down. This is gonna be a long night.
Yep.
So, I'm ready for it. So that's what I did. What about you?
Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I had my second ever Grimm audition.
Yeah?
I got one right after I got my agent in February.
Oh, this is an actual audition, not like bathroom code for a handy at the bus station.
No, okay. This is actually driving down to Portland and doing it. And I just want to say that I can't say anything, but Trampus...
Mm-hmm.
Your name rhymes with the character's name that I auditioned for.
I'm squeaking.
Also happens to be in the title of the episode.
Oh my god.
So I'm really,
I really fucking hope.
So I went down, had a much better experience this time than I had before.
Right. Well, bigger character too.
No.
No?
Well, I don't know because
last time was the ufologist, right?
Yeah, yeah, but they only give you, you know, here's some sides. You know what?
Fuck
you don't
it.
Know how much.
It's a bigger character for me. Yeah. I don't care. It's a bigger character for me. You are whipping a chain from one of my favorite fucking mythical characters right now.
So. And so I went in and did my audition, and the casting director had me make a change for part of it, and I did, and she said that was really good, and I put on the Facebooks that I had my audition, and like 10 minutes later, my agent called and said, you got a call back.
Nice.
Chill out for 3 hours. So
nice.
My phone was dying, so I went to Lloyd Center Mall and got a battery backup. And,
those are cool. Those are cool.
And a phone charger that now sits in the car.
Right.
So I have a wall charger that sits in the car, and I have the car charger, but... when I tried to charge my phone from my car, apparently I have a cell that's bad in my battery in the car.
Oh, shit.
So it wouldn't start. And a good Samaritan was next to me and said, do you need a jump? So jumped the car, let it run for a while, turned it off, turned it back on. Okay, everything's cool. Moved the car, drove to Lloyd Center, came back, had my call back. Drove down to see my dad in Salem, drove back up here.
Right.
Went to get gas in Tacoma.
Car wouldn't start.
Car wouldn't start.
Did you get a new battery yet?
2 a.m.
Oh, shit.
Luckily, a good Samaritan had some jumper cables. Fired up the car, brought it home. It's now sitting out in front of the house, and I'm going to go take it to, like, O'Reilly's or someplace that can test the battery.
Right.
Because it has, it's not a sealed cell.
Right.
So I may be able to open it up, put that little battery conditioner stuff in there, and make it work. Because it's a nice CarQuest battery.
Well, right. And you've checked the connections, I'm assuming. They're tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, yeah. So I'm, that now the waiting game for all of these things is, you know, the acid in the stomach. And this is the fun part of acting, waiting around going, I hope.
Yeah. For a second there, I thought we were going to veer off and actually like start kind of into a car talk.
Oh, I thought we were going to veer off and talk about code names for handies.
Well, we could too.
No, No, let's just not go there.
The automatic window, is that a code name for a handy? No, the automatic window would be a. I don't know. Never mind. Nope, not going to go there. All right.
Just walking away.
So, I guess we should probably get to some questions. It's been a while.
We should. Been a while, and we have a fuck ton.
A metric fuck ton or a standard? Okay.
No, I believe it's metric.
How many fuck pounds are in a fuck ton? Is it 2,000?
2,400.
2,400 fuck pounds in a fuck ton.
Yes.
Is that the imperial? Are those pounds based off of the imperial fuck ounce? Or are they based?
No.
Troy fuck ounce.
Yes.
The Troy fuck ounce. Okay. Yes. Cool.
Loosely based on the Incan formula for calculating space travel. I don't know.
Right.
Speaking of Trampas.
Oh, Trampas.
What are your thoughts on the interchangeability of nice and kind?
Wait a second. Trampas' name backwards is Sepmart.
That's
awesome. I don't know. It's just like a place where you go get really, really, really fresh maple syrup, I guess. Sepmart.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Jump back to the question, which is already forgotten. What are your thoughts on the interchangeability of nice and kind? Are random acts of kindness really just random acts of niceness? And does that diminish their value?
That seems to be just a semantic thing. I think that
if a car leaves downtown traveling at 30 miles an hour.
So
I think that there is a difference between nice and kind.
I agree there's a difference between nice and kind. And I do think that you can have a random act of niceness and a random act of kindness. To me, a random act of niceness is, hey man, you dropped this. Here you go. You know, a random act of kindness is, shit, somebody dropped this. I'm going to go find them. You know, kindness is a little more, you're more invested in kindness than niceness.
I would say a random act of kindness is, you know, hey, here's $20, buy the next four people's coffee.
Yeah, that's totally kindness. Tip, yeah.
You know, and niceness is just, you know,
niceness is here's your tip.
Here's your tip, or gee, you look nice today.
Right.
Or trying to go out of your way to make somebody's day or something like that with just very limited investment, as you said.
Limited investment, exactly.
Not necessarily monetary, but.
And I think that there are both, and I think that you should aspire to do both.
Yes, and I don't think that any diminishes the value of either because they're unique and
I don't think it's I'm pretty sure that positives like that are cumulative, so you're not going to diminish. In fact, if you follow up kindness with niceness, you're pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not,
or
it's
if like, you're here, being
have
nice,
a kidney, and you really look fucking ugly today. You know that it's gonna.
Hey, you dropped this Montblanc pen. I don't want you to be without that because it's very expensive. And the receiver says,
"Thank you."
And
why don't you have it?
See? Random act of niceness by giving the pen back
random act of kindness
by letting giving someone a hundred and something odd dollar pen.
Yeah.
You can send your Montblanc pens too.
Are you a pen guy too? You're just like, So you and Aaron, we went and got the Montblanc catalog. It's a fucking bound book.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Also, and I did, this is a completely, I am in no way affiliated with this Kickstarter. There's a Kickstarter going on currently for these amazing pens. They're magnets. They're pens that are, it's like six magnets that, that form for lack of a better word, shaft of the pen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and you can like rearrange them and there are gold ones and silver ones. You can do fun little games with them, but they also have a magnet stylus tip, and it's a capacitive stylus. So you can use the pen. They're neat. Wow. I just love magnets. Magnets are awesome.
Magnets are awesome.
How do they work?
I had a former boss. That's right.
It's well documented.
Yes. I had a former boss that had found in an airport a Montblanc cap.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have it in your pocket, it looks like a Mont Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's he went out and got a Parker pen, put away the cap, put it in there, and pull it out.
That's fucking brilliant. Woo! That's brilliant.
So what I really want from a Kickstarter that I think is already done, so I'm screwed, is the perfectly clear ice spheres.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you can buy them now on ThinkGeek, I believe.
Oh, really?
Well, or they're going to be on ThinkGeek.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll double check.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, I agree with that. Yes. But also on the same token, Death Star.
Death Star.
Yeah.
If you could get the Death Star to be perfectly clear, that would be that would be the bell of the ball.
It would be.
That would just be awesome. Okay.
You just want a big old ball on your whiskey.
Yes.
Whiskey on the rounds.
Next are three questions. From Fox Winter.
Ah.
First.
What does he say? No? Sorry. He forgot.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Fox Winter is a dude. You're thinking of...
they're all on Facebook. I don't know. All
right.
There's no pictures. What is your favorite speech from the plays that are attributed... I'm going to edit this question. What's your favorite speech from Shakespeare's plays?
Oh, is he bacon boning you there? Trying to pull the...
attributed to...
Francis Bacon. It was Francis Bacon.
Whatever.
Favorite speech from the plays? Probably Richard. Going to go with the whole nostrils flaring and, that whole jazz.
Yeah, I've got a couple. St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V.
You know what? I almost might have to take that one back then, because that's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you, Robin Williams.
Then there is the lovely speech from the Scottish play, Kenneth Branagh.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of, God, what was the name of that fucking movie? Because it wasn't Major Payne. It definitely wasn't Major Payne. But there was one where they did the St. Crispin's Day speech. Was it the one with... forget it. Don't worry.
Okay. Braveheart?
I'm off today. I'm not on today. It has been a long day. It's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
So
I'm not all there either. I would also say the speech that the character Macbeth gives when he's...
The Tomorrow and
Blow
Tomorrow.
Wind Howl Rack.
Okay, not that. Because I know Tomorrow and Tomorrow by fucking heart for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why.
The To Be or Not to Be speech is great in that it's a wonderful exercise of trying to convey all of the things that he's trying to say in there, because he's having an argument with himself. Mm-hmm. And to pull it off, you have to be excessively clear in every little bit.
Right.
But I would have to say, of those that I have given, the wrap-up of Friar Lawrence in Romeo and Juliet is one. Mm-hmm. And the...
Because seriously, like, if that was my play, Friar Lawrence would have been like, the fuck is wrong with these kids? And just been like, drop the mic out.
Except it's not what's wrong with these kids. It's what's wrong with the parents.
I know.
No. It's what's up with Friar fucking Lawrence. Well, he meddles in everything and does brings about all the shit.
That's true.
You could argue that anyway. The other one is from Merchant of Venice, where Bassanio is wooing Portia and looks at the three casks.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is...
So pretty much any speech from any play is really what we're getting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And if, dear listeners, we've offended, think but this and all is mended. We're moving on. That's not
a plague of locusts on these two foes. For once begin their woes of rose. I don't know.
A pox upon thee.
What are this one's for Andy?
Yeah, but I'm not going to answer it because you're going to have to buy the DVD.
But I get it.
I know. Go ahead and read it.
Not on it.
Well, I don't know what's on it yet, though. That's the problem.
Yeah,
and I honestly don't remember. I need to watch.
What are some of the other things you said to make Brian Lewis uncomfortable? Oh, specifically in Hands of Fate. Well, that really limits the scope of what we can say.
Yeah. I will not tell you directly, but I will say there was definitely a chin on another part of the anatomy reference. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, because, I mean, he's got a very versatile chin.
That's one word for it.
A lot of oral sex jokes. A lot of just... Really, I think the finger did the around the mouth thing with the, and that was horrifying.
Weren't there some deliverance lines?
There were some, well, you sure got a pretty mouth is a deliverance line.
Yes.
But I think there was some squeal.
Squeal.
There was a little bit of squeal line. Yeah, a little bit of squeal.
Getting back to the football.
But we're, squeal that's, like a football. That's as far as I'm going with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's enough. And then.
I'm all over this one.
You guys mentioned something called a merkin last podcast.
Merkin.
What is a merkin? And not the South Park version of American.
Right.
Merkin. Or merkin.
Merkin.
Or merkin. Please be explicitly specific and detailed in your explanation because I am slow of study.
Well, Fox Winter, who obviously fucking knows what a merkin is and, you know, has Google, so whatever.
Yeah.
A merkin is a pubic wig, specifically a pubic wig generally worn to obscure the pubis of a female. You could be used for a male too, but you generally it's worn in burlesque or some other nude type scene to obscure the pubis of a female or to give the illusion of nudity. It can be both. But a merkin is generally some hair down there. It's a pubic wig.
Right.
Hey, if I
kind of like 70s porn.
So if I shaved the hair above my wang into a triangle, would that be a Dick Van Dyke?
Man.
Yeah. Merkin.
I just love how it's gone from merkin to hardwood floors.
Right. You could I don't mind either way, man. I am a fan of just And it's not even like female necessarily. I'm a fan of nudity. Nudity is awesome. So you can have hardwood floors. You can have full shag. You know, you can have it just around the edges. You can shave it into a heart. I don't care. I'm going to enjoy it. You are what we call a blank canvas, my friend. You are. Someone could go Sistine Chapel on your back.
Yes, they could.
So,
That's why I have tattoos instead.
You could have a merkin. You could do that. Have. Red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I got merkin.
Merkin.
Quickly, Mike Ott, get us out of this. How do you feel about Vine as a distribution outlet?
I certainly have laughed at a lot of them.
I don't know what the fuck a Vine is.
Six seconds of video, like a tweet, but it's a video tweet. There have been a lot of really funny ones. I'll show you some after. It's Twitter for videos. They're Twitios.
Okay.
You get 6 seconds. You can stop and start the video any number of times in that 6 seconds. This is just how the app is set up. You can stop and start the videos.
Oh, it's an app.
It's an app, and then
and
it posts,
a website and posts, all that.
Yeah. And it posts that 6 seconds of video, and it's shit like, you know, people do little like 6 second skits and they're really cool and there are some really fucking funny ones. Some people are just like, look at this, my dinner is, someone cooked me, look at this dinner that they made me.
Oh,
yeah,
like so Pinterest.
More like Instagram.
I mean Instagram, yeah. Sorry Pinterest, I didn't mean to mix the two.
For the most part, like celebrities tend to use them to do quick little You know, like the one of my favorites right now has got to be Mark Hamill and Tara Strong.
Oh, yes, I've seen that one.
You've seen it? That's a vine. That's a vine. That's 6 seconds where he's like, oh, Holly. And she does the, you know, ah, pudding thing. Like, that's six yeah. seconds of video, but it's a fucking awesome 6 seconds of video.
Really?
You have to, well, yeah, for fans. As a fan, I fucking love that. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was hilarious to see them together. They didn't have a lot of time. It's a good outlet for that kind of thing. But it's 6 seconds. It's Twitter. It's Twitter. It means you make them and they're gone. You know, you make them, they're tiny, they're itty bitty.
I wonder if they'll be porn vine.
There already are.
Oh.
Just okay. the
vine. Just when I thought hashtag, I had the moneymaker.
Hashtag NSFW, my friend. Which is not New South fucking Wales, by the way.
No. No.
Hey, okay. Stuart Hume.
I love so, Australia. Moritz Schubert asks a question, apparently just for me.
Uh-huh.
Why is Leo such a munchkin in The Gamer's Darkness Rising, but a story player in The Gamer's Hands of Fate?
Hmm.
The follow-up, I believe, explanation is, we see two very different sides of Leo in the two movies, so much so that they almost seem like different characters to me. You, as the actor who portrays Leo, can probably shed some light on the situation. I'm not sure that Leo is a munchkin in Darkness Rising.
What
Flynn is?
Yeah. What is munchkin exactly?
I don't know. I'm
thinking of like the game, right? It's got to be. Is it a?
I'm gonna go with the fact that Leo is a bit meeker. Mm-hmm. In Darkness Rising,
right.
And not so much in Hands of Fate.
Here's the way I look at it. If you've ever worked retail, you know that 7 years of working retail, which is it's about 6-7 years, right, is the time span here? Because it's five plus one, so six.
Well, in real world time.
In real world, that's all I'm talking about.
I don't know that there's that much time between Darkness and Hands of Fate in
No, because it's been 5 years. No, they address it. It's been 5 years since they've been together, and then there's that sixth year tacked on at the end. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll double check. But anyway, yeah. Even 1 year. Like, let's just assume that this was filmed shortly after Black Friday. And for those of you outside of the U.S., Black Friday is the most horrible day of the year.
Yeah.
It's a false day because it's not really the biggest shopping day of the year, but everyone says it is. However, they whip everybody up into a frenzy, and it's the worst day to be a retailer. So let's assume that this whole thing happened on Black Friday.
Yeah.
And Leo's just pissed.
Yeah, and I don't think... Yeah, I'm going to say, A, it was the script.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the whole script was harsher.
Yes.
Everybody was a little grittier.
It was, yeah, everybody was, you know, rebooted to be a little bit more... aggro.
Though I think the meeker Leo kind of shows through in Natural One a little bit. Leo is a more of
yeah.
a, you know.
Yeah, and there has been some really wonderful feedback and mm-hmm. some really interesting observations mm-hmm. that have been mentioned about the character.
Right.
I wasn't doing anything different personally
right.
than what I'd done in the other one. Intentionally.
Right.
But I do think that because of Leo's story arc in this particular one.
Right.
And in talking with Matt about, you know, you're more of the Pat Morita character, the sensei of...
Wax on, wax off, die yes. of alcohol poisoning.
Exactly.
Ah, I feel bad about that. I'm sorry.
You should.
But it happened.
Yeah, so I would say that the biggest changes are probably scriptural.
Right.
In the tone and language that God. Leo uses.
Oh, different kind of scripture, sorry.
Yes. But that the, I don't know, less munchkin-y, I guess I don't understand what the munchkin
I have a theory.
Reference is.
Well, if munchkin is the reference to the game, you have... What, search the room and kick down the door, like mm-hmm. in two actions, right? And you're kind of a comedic, I think maybe that's it. Maybe comedic relief versus not so much comedic relief. Here's my theory. My theory is part of why Leo was meeker in Dorkness is that Leo was completely fucking out of his element. Look at Leo's interaction with Hans. It is gruff. It's exactly what you see in Hands of Fate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's essentially the, you know, oh, that would be on the rate sheet kind of feel. You know, it's like
right.
the pizza jitsu.
Argue on.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Leo's always been like that. At the table, Leo's out of his element.
Mm-hmm.
He is playing a character that he has never played before. That is like he's sitting there trying to deal with that, and that's
right.
And he's emotionally like, I mean, you know, people who play games, they get emotionally involved.
Invested.
Yeah. Exactly. Additionally, if the time frame is right, and I think it is. I think it's been 6 years. I think the time frame is 6 years. If the time frame is right, because dude, Gary's got a huge corporate gig now. He's out of college. He was in college in the old movie.
True.
So I think it's been 6 years.
Was it college or high school?
Yeah. well, given the level of math.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, I mean, he should have been like advanced physics in high school because he's Gary. He's a math whiz.
Yeah.
So like super calculus, if they have that.
Super calculus.
So the other thought there is if it's been 6 years, you were just coming off. This is retro. So this is totally retrofitting this whole thing. You are just coming off of R9E. You just got out of the story of R9E.
True.
You are lamenting getting out of the story of R9E. You're not emotionally invested the same way. You're just coming out of this world that you helped control and create, and so now you're a little bitter.
And that totally makes the line that you can't understand that I deliver, which is, should have been 80 yard. Are you listening? We may be releasing this again. I would like to ADR that stupid fucking line because it's, no, we have a tourney, meaning, as it was explained to me at the time because I didn't know then, like a Pokemon tournament. A right. card flopping
tournament. That's exactly how I read it, too.
I never understood it because the direction in Darkness Rising from Matt was, you hate these people.
Because you just left the game, and that's why you just left the game.
Right.
Right.
But retroactively.
Right.
Because when we started doing Hands of Fate, and I didn't understand all that other backstory, because we sort of developed some of that as we went along, I was like, hold it. In the first movie, I hate card floppers. Now I'm actively encouraging them. A. You're B. Right.
Yeah.
I used to be the lord of them, sort of, in a way, kind of, maybe.
You're on the fucking building.
I know.
I mean, come on.
I am a stained glass picture. If no one caught that.
Caught that. I'm sure they did. I'm
I
sure
know.
They
did. A lot of people have, and it's very surprising.
Oh, by the way,
to me.
Spoiler alert. Probably should have said that earlier.
If you haven't seen the movie by now.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess that would be my answer there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and I keep in mind, there's more Leo in other media as well. There are other appearances of Leo.
There is. There's way more Leo.
There's Leo. Oh, so much Leo.
So much Leo.
All right, let's move on.
And Douglas Michael?
Michael Michelle something, I don't know. Douglas, we've had this conversation before.
Good old Dougie M writes in and says that now that the convention season is wrapping up, how are the sales? Yes, the thank Buddha. God. How are the sales of Frackin' Epic? Also, when can those of us who ordered the signed hard copies expect to receive them? Well, Bo, actually it's my fault because I haven't given all the books to Bo once we had the sorting party here to get everything to the conventions. So, I have already spoken with Bo this week. We are going to look to be in the same place at the same time.
Right.
And get the books exchanged, and then he will be mailing those out.
Yay!
Yay!
I don't really want to talk about sales numbers. I don't think that's... I mean, we can if you want.
I don't even know what they are. It's been going well at the times that we sold them.
Yeah.
But...
It sold better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
At the cons.
Yeah. But we'll have more, so
we'll have more
to figure out.
And I mean,
how we're going to do them.
We desperately would like to sell more, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If you have any bright ideas, shoot them our way.
Is that it for questions, or do we have any more?
That is it for all the questions I could find on the Facebook.
Good enough for me. If we missed your question, Tom Brophy, sorry.
Well, again, I don't think Tom had a question. He's good. Been in and out.
Yeah, he needs to.
He's going to see Depeche Mode in L.A. on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
He's going to miss the Sons of Anarchy episode, I, because I'm shooting an overnight for The Darker Path.
Oh, speaking of TV,
because
I don't watch TV. I watch Netflix.
Right.
Or other outlets. So I finally started watching Derek. Well, finally. I mean, it's just...
Derek.
It's,
what's Derek?
Right. It is Ricky Gervais.
New Netflix one. Okay, yeah.
It's awesome. Don't expect it to be extras. Don't expect it to be The Office. It is not. It is not any of those things. What it is really sincere, really awesome. And Carl Pilkington is just fucking great. There's this scene where Kevin, one of their deadbeat friends who's just horrible, is like, you know, well, you got that haircut anyway. He's like, it's not a haircut. This bit just sort of fucked off. This bit stayed. That's all it is. And it just fucking killed me. Because
it looks like he's got a bald...
Yeah.
Bald haircut.
It's a bad baldness.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. I finished Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I'm...
I stopped on that through about the fourth episode, and then everybody would say, no, it's really good. And then I went back and I finished it, and it is really good.
Maybe I'll give it another go.
Just a little lull.
Kate Mulgrew.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Kate Mulgrew.
And then I'm going back through the West Wing. The funny thing is, I was looking at the Netflix and it says 100 episodes, and I'm doing the math going, there was at least 7 seasons at 22 per is way more than 100 episodes.
Right.
But okay, I'm going to take Netflix as its word and not scroll through
the seasons
50 million of all this stuff. So I backed it up to where I thought I had kind of left off. No, because that was like the end of season 4 or 5. I got into like episode 80. I'm now up to like 107. And it has all of them, because then I scrolled through and I went, no, this can't end this soon because I've seen. So I'm catching up on my West Wing. And then I'll gonna do that, and hopefully Breaking Bad.
I'm gonna
had the season finale tonight.
Yeah,
and I missed the on demand. Caught up.
I would expect Breaking Bad's probably about 3 months away from showing up on Netflix.
No, I think they said that since this was the final episode,
they're gonna just
put it up on Netflix.
Sweet.
So I'm hoping in the next. That's what I heard. I don't know how.
I'm gonna marathon it. I've got a marathon all 5 seasons because
you haven't seen any of them.
Well, I've seen most of the first season.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't have time.
Yeah.
I mean,
it helps when you can't sleep.
That's true. But I don't think it's worth it. Maybe it is. Maybe Breaking Bad is worth it. Not sleeping.
Oh yeah, it's totally worth it.
I would rather. I like sleep, dude. I like sleep. I don't know.
No, I like sleep too. But if I can't sleep,
I'll
watch that until my eyes get heavy, turn it off, and then go to sleep.
Right.
At 5 or 6 in the morning.
Yeah. We need to go see some movies. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I want to see Don Juan or Don.
Don John.
Don John.
Yes.
Don John, sorry.
I can't believe I missed Elysian in the movie theater.
Is Elysian or Elysium?
Oh, Elysium. I'm thinking of the brewery.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The other one that I want to see, Guilty Pleasure. And through the Nevermind, whatever the new Metallica movie is.
Right. Yeah.
I think I would really like to see that.
They were just on Colbert, actually.
Really?
Pimping it. Colbert pimping it.
Nice.
I'll have to look it up and watch it. It's supposed to be pretty funny.
Yeah, but Don John should be awesome. I just cut up on...
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is just really fucking way too talented.
Yes, the lip sync with him and Jimmy Fallon and
Stephen Merchant. Oh my God,
that was amazing!
Holy shit, that was funny.
I finally saw all of Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Into Darkness, yeah.
Because when we missed the half. Totally understand it ish now, and totally see where the logic holes were. Because for me, there was a huge logic hole, Act 2. So I couldn't make
any of the
logic hole
arguments. Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say you can... here's my stance on Into Darkness.
I thought, again,
it's
for me, it was a really entertaining movie. I lost myself in it, and it
That's all you can ask for most of the time. I just didn't... I didn't lose myself in it is the problem. If they would have gone completely somewhere else with Khan, I think I would have liked it a lot more. If they would have cut so many of the forced callbacks, I think I would have liked it a lot more. And frankly, if there were more Carl Urban, because did they just dig up DeForest Kelly and like get some kind of retrovirus? Yes, I've seen it.
Oh, that's amazing.
There are photos where they combine digitally the faces of the original series cast and the new Abrams cast. And it's awesome.
It's as awesome as the Bo Brown.
Yeah. In a way it's awesome. What shocks me the most is looking at that. There were a lot of very, very, very serious casting decisions made just on appearance.
Yeah.
You can tell that they really wanted people who brought out these other characters, even physically. Yeah. I mean, everyone knew it was Zachary Quinto. Everyone knew, like, nobody expected Urban to do as well as he did at DeForest Kelly, and it was incredible.
No. Yeah.
But I did not expect Pine to be as close to Shatner as he was, as close to young Shatner as he was. And it's impressive.
Yeah.
You know, there, a lot of them are really impressive. Another one that blew me away was Peg. Simon Pegg. Well, Simon Pegg. Of course. Uhura. But I mean, I don't know. That's the... Uhura's the one that didn't quite fit because, frankly, and I don't know why I can't remember her name.
Nichelle?
Nichelle. What's her last name? Yeah, well, so Nichelle, the original Uhura. Frankly, just had this regalness about her.
Yeah.
This amazing, amazing presence. And I think it's because of stage. Mm-hmm. Frankly. That's one thing I think I'm missing a lot in a lot of modern TV is the stage element is missing. A lot of these people go directly from school, acting school, to film now and TV. And I think that stage presence is missing. And Nichelle, she was just power. Every time she spoke, it was powerful.
Yep.
Still, when she speaks, like at commencement speeches and stuff, holy shit!
Yeah.
Super. All of them, all of the original series cast, just spoke with such authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like James Doohan, when he could fucking just have you in your seat, glued to every word when he spoke, and it was amazing. You've read the Doohan story or listened to him tell the story? You got to listen to him tell it. But the story when he got the letter about someone committing suicide. I'll let you look it up. It's fucking incredible. Great story. But they were just.
Or we'll let Seth look that up.
We'll let Seth look it up. Hey Seth.
Then I'll look it up after Seth has.
But yeah, the original crew cast was just...
Yeah.
And wasn't the most interesting man in the world actually on the crew at one point as a red shirt? Or maybe a gold shirt? I think he was. Be interesting to look up. But I'm pretty sure the guy who plays the most interesting man in the world was on the bridge or was on the ship at some point in the original series.
Cool.
So...
Much Gatsby last night.
What'd you think?
It was visually stunning.
That's exactly where I went with it.
It was amazing. I mean,
the story was great. Well, the story's Gatsby.
but I don't care.
Here's the thing. Go ahead and read Gatsby. It's like 10 pages, I swear. It's like, it's really short. Just read it, and you'll watch the movie, and you'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, they nailed it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I read it in high school.
Right, right.
But that was a long time ago, and... you know, watching it, it was really cool. I mean, I thought that they did some. I mean, it's Baz. Anything that he does is just
brilliant.
You know, it's going to be.
It's
going to
look great,
amazing. But I was looking at some of the Redbox comments.
And read the comments.
No. I know, but for me, they're funny because I'm going to rent it anyway, and I just want to see what people are saying. And someone's like, this was supposed to be a 1920s or 30s movie, and there's hip-hop and rap and
boy, yeah.
And I was just like...
You don't understand anything.
Wow, okay.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Can't wait to watch this now.
Yeah, so I love it. I love what he does with modern music in these older... in these older styles of movies.
Yeah.
Moulin Rouge is still one of my just favorites.
Yeah. It's been so a while since I've seen that, but I need to revisit it.
Yeah. And I don't just watch it for the one Nicole Kidman nip slip. I watch it for the story.
Yeah.
And the one Nicole and Kidman Ewan nip slip. And
Ewan McGregor singing.
And Ewan McGregor watching Nicole Kidman's nip slip. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about.
And then 42. I highly recommend.
That's a football-y movie, right? A movie about the foosballs?
No.
No?
It is a movie about Jackie Robinson, the first black professional baseball player.
That's the football with the stick, right? The golf? No.
It's history. Just watch it. Okay. You don't need to understand baseball.
You know what? No,
it
you sold me.
Breaking
you sold
the
me.
Color barrier.
You sold me because it's not a sports movie. It's a history movie, and I'll take that.
And Alan Tudyk is no holds barred the most racist motherfucker, and he just...
Alan Tudyk's character
Yes.
is no holds barred.
I'm assuming everyone is going to understand
surprisingly,
that he is not a
Alan
racist.
Tudyk, only one penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. He is not a modern medical miracle.
No. We actually, because I watch Wreck-It Ralph frequently.
Mm.
It's a great... But Alan Tudyk, people don't even know it's Alan Tudyk. That's what kills me. People don't know King Candy is Alan Tudyk. You know? That's Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch him do the voice, it's fucking hilarious, but
I've not watched him do the voice. Where do you see that?
YouTube.
Oh,
it's okay. Where you see all things. Right. So yeah, I'll check it out. I'll check out 42 in a heartbeat then, because
yeah,
if it's a social commentary movie, I see numbers and I'm instantly fucking sports.
Right.
I don't fucking care. I don't care.
Harrison Ford as the baseball owner.
Oh, okay.
There's it's centered about baseball because right. He is the first
black
ball player.
That's not true. He's not the first black ball player.
Professional
ball player. He's the first, right, the first accepted professional black ball player.
No, not
there's
accepted.
There's actually a huge story about it. I'll find it and forward it to you.
Okay, but no one ever played in the American League.
So yes, they did, but there was a 20-year ban. Before the 20-year ban, there were more black ball players. He was the first after the ban.
Oh, okay.
So,
in modern baseball.
Yeah, when they weren't using whatever, orphans as bases. I don't know how baseball works. Do they use orphans as bases?
Yeah.
Do you eat Mapo before you...
That's how you steal the base.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And you take them to their home.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this orphan to his home.
Home, yep.
That makes sense now.
Stealing home is taking an orphan home.
Yeah. And the dugout seems just really specifically anti-Doug. I don't understand.
Yep, he's not dug in.
No.
The pitcher sometimes digs a foot in.
He digs a foot in
so he could be
for
dug
the dugout.
In,
but he does out. That in the bullpen before he gets to the mound.
Correct.
I don't... This makes no fucking sense to me.
No. Makes more sense than cricket to me.
Cricket? You got to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket.
Yeah.
I'll teach you. Six runs. No? Elias Kadis? No. How do you pronounce his name? Elias Kodis?
Codius? I don't know.
Casey Jones in Ninja Turtles. He explains cricket to Raphael.
Oh, right.
By
yes.
beating the fuck out of him.
Right.
Like you do. That's how you teach cricket.
Yeah.
You beat the fuck out of a turtle.
Yeah, with that.
There's an innuendo.
Lemony's.
There's an innuendo for a hand job behind a bus station. I beat the fuck out of the cricket. Or out of the turtle. I beat the fuck out of the turtle. And it comes around.
Did it poke its head out?
A little bit at the end.
So...
So, first of all, before we invite Neil deGrasse Tyson on, please go to my Facebook page or Scott's Facebook page, I think, as well, or Tyler Hill's Facebook page, and read the Peak Mun story about Neil deGrasse Tyson, because it's actually really amazing, and it shows just how dickheaded a lot of the internet is.
I did not repost that because I was like, I just want this to die.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, we still love you.
Oh,
and
big
we
time.
Want you to come on our show.
Yes, we do.
And I want you to talk down to me or
please.
Talk at my level of, because I am an idiot man child.
Talk above my level.
Talk
above
below
my
level.
Just talk
to us about something cool and cosmic.
Yes, we just want to talk. We want to bask in the awesomeness that is your brain, personality, and
I just
want to
bask in
awesomeness.
Science. I just want to bask in science. Yeah. At this point, I got to be honest. We keep inviting Neil deGrasse Tyson. I would settle for Bill Nye. I would settle for Alan.
I will never settle.
You'll never. It's got to be. It's got to be
Alan Turing.
Alan Turing. I don't. He's a little. He's a little dead for the. A little too deceased for the podcast.
Marie Callender. Oh no, she's
Marie. I would love a pie. I'm not going to lie. My fat ass would love a pie. No, I think, I mean, let's have on Charles Babbage and Ada, Countess of Lovelace. Let's do that.
Okay.
They'll have them talk about looms and analytical engines and steam engines. And
that's not Lady Lovelace, is it?
No, that's something else that's entirely. That's
not the one I'm hoping
no.
for.
No.
Oh, Linda. Linda Lovelace. Linda Lovelace, that's right.
Oh.
Although, going to be a movie.
Deep Throat again?
It's the making of.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Because, you know, she hated it. She went born again hard.
Oh, yeah. No, and this is all about her, Linda, and how her husband put her into this position and then got exploited and then later on was an activist and
anti-porn all
that
activist. Stuff.
And I can't remember who it is that's playing her. I want to say it's the dark-haired girl from 70s Show.
Mila Kunis?
Yeah, but I could be wrong.
Shut up, Meg.
Ditto.
Yeah, all right. So, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're out there listening, please come on our show. Star talk us up.
Have us on your show.
Have us on your show. Have
fly us out. We would love to take a tour of the museum as well.
Yeah. Well, the observatory, right? The
whole thing.
The whole thing.
The observatory, the museum, the...
Yeah.
Subway, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just anywhere walking with you, pointing stuff out would just blow my mind.
Just explain to us all the things.
Yes.
The secrets of the universe is all we ask.
I don't think it's too much.
Like, honestly. Where is the executive washroom?
Yeah.
The Pleiades? I guess it'd be the Pleiades.